Welcome to Locked On Pistons, your daily Pistons podcast. I'm your host, Duncan Smith. You can follow me on Twitter at DuncanSmithNBA. You can find my work on PistonPowered.com. It's been a busy weekend since we last spoke across the NBA and even with the Pistons as well. First off, we'll get to the news that's gone down since we last spoke. The Sixers and Celtics have made a trade. They swapped draft picks. The Sixers are going to get the first overall draft pick from the Celtics, and the Celtics will get the Sixers' third overall pick. They're also going to get the Lakers' first round pick in 2018. From the terms of the deal, if that pick is either first or it comes sixth or later, that pick rolls over to 2019 and it becomes either the Sixers' first round pick or the Kings' first round pick, whichever is better. Now, if that pick comes in first overall, whichever the favorable option is, the Celtics will just get the lesser of the two picks. So, the Sixers have built in some protections to make sure that they don't give up any future first overall picks. And, you know, the verdict is far too soon before we've seen either Markel Fultz, who is almost certainly going to be the Sixers pick, or whoever the Celtics end up getting at three. Early reports sounds like Josh Jackson. You know, it's too soon to really be able to judge and determine a winner or a loser here. It was high drama this weekend, and that deal became finalized earlier this afternoon. Speaking of movement around the NBA, Paul George has expressed his intent to leave the Pacers after this coming season. It's been kind of a poorly kept secret. It's been no secret that he's probably looking to go elsewhere after the end of this coming season. The Pacers can't give him a supermax unless he finishes in among the All-NBA teams this coming offseason. If there is a situation where the Pacers can pay him the supermax and make him a designated veteran, he may be persuadable to stay. But I think that's what it would take, and even there, he might just want to bolt. He's indicated that the Lakers would be his destination of choice, whether it be by trade or whether he just signed there this coming summer. It's worth noting that the Lakers don't have enough cap space at this point in time to actually give Paul George the max, so it may be a situation where it makes more sense for the Lakers to trade him, acquire his bird rights, and then re-sign him, and they don't need to worry about cap space. Then you've got a situation where the Lakers actually have to send something to the Pacers that the Pacers want in order to make this deal. So, the Pacers may be interested in trying to keep him, trying to persuade him to stay, but it sounds like perhaps by the time the draft rolls around, they'd like to have a deal in place. While something like this leaking out into the press might generally cause a belief that there's a lack of leverage with the Pacers, there's a real demand issue as well in this situation. I believe Kevin Pelton estimates that the value of a deal that would satisfy the Pacers' needs and also be worthy of one season worth of Paul George, because he is a free agent at the end of the next season, no matter who he plays for. It would be equivalent to like a 10th or 11th overall pick, but then you get yourself into a situation where if basically everybody can afford such a thing, and some teams really want Paul George, like the Cavs would love to add Paul George, then that is going to drive the price up regardless. So even if there's like a fairly flat, low value in a vacuum, teams do want Paul George, and that drives the price up automatically. So it's going to be really interesting to see, especially pertaining to the suddenly less static view of the draft coming up. We're almost there, just Thursday, just a couple days away. So yeah, we'll keep an eye on that. It will affect the Pistons one way or another, even if he stays in the division, in the Central Division, and goes to the Cavs. At least in the short term, the Pacers will probably suffer something of a crippling now that their best player by far would be gone. And it would just be a consolidation at the top, which, you know, basically nobody but the Warriors would really be concerned about. And even there, they are the Warriors, so they really shouldn't be concerned about much. It just makes the team that is like head and shoulders better than everybody else in the East that much better. Nobody's catching them anyway, so why worry about it? If the rest of the competition in the Central can be diminished, so much the better. So I think that Pistons fans, really, I wouldn't worry too much about his general destination. Obviously, if he could go west, that'd be great. But either way, whether he goes west or whether he strengthens a division rival, you know, the Cavs are just too much better than anybody else right now in the Eastern Conference for it to really matter for the Pistons. So again, we're going to keep an eye on it. If nothing else, it's high drama. It's great theater, and it's something we can depend on from the NBA this time of year. We also have the Pistons potentially being in the news around the NBA. It's just a smaller detail here, but Sam Amico of Amico Hoops tweeted this afternoon, actually I guess it was this morning, that the Lakers are hoping to acquire another first round draft pick, and they may have already contacted the Pistons about this. So whether there's anything to that, whether the Pistons have anything that the Lakers would want to go along with this first round draft pick, obviously there's not a whole lot of flexibility for the Pistons to just ship their 12th overall pick out for a player to come back. They're over the cap. There needs to be salary cutting going back and forth, essentially. So that'll be another thing to keep an eye on. I don't really have any kind of an instinct one way or the other. I kind of feel like it's, you know, maybe a call was made, and I don't really expect a whole lot to happen there. But then I'm fairly pessimistic on the Pistons' ability to make any moves right now anyway, considering their flexibility issues and their cap restraints. So I may be unrealistically pessimistic on the Pistons' ability to make any kind of an interesting move, but I wouldn't really get too excited about this one. You know, if the Pistons were to make a move that was for a player, they would be seeking a quote-unquote win-now veteran. And that's not something that the Lakers are really stocked all that full of. The Pistons would not want to, and would not be able to, even if they were inclined to take on any bad contracts for the Lakers. Whether the Pistons' contracts are bad or whether they're not bad is kind of beside the point. They're just capped right out. And that's even before taking Kentavious Caldwell-Pope's pending restricted free agency into account. Even if the Pistons were to let KCP walk for nothing, which is highly unlikely, they still don't have cap space to do anything. So keep an eye on that rumor as well, but don't get too excited about that one. As far as the Pistons themselves, aside from rumors that may or may not have substance, Donovan Mitchell, rookie prospects, potential future Piston prospect, although it looks like he's probably going to go before the Pistons pick at 12. He made his appearance at the Pistons practice facility in Auburn Hills. He was a hit with the media, apparently. There are Vince Ellis and Keith Langlois and Rod Beard all raved about him on Twitter after getting to meet him and talk to him. So it sounds like he's a winner. He's a guy that people like. He's a guy that will be excellent in the locker room. And he's got a real defensive edge in the way he thinks as well. So I I feel like he's probably a guy that Pistons fans would immediately like when they learn about him. So, a couple notes about him. He posted one of the fastest three-quarter court times ever at the Combine. He ran that at 3.01 seconds, which is naturally completely absurd. He also had the top standing vertical at the Combine at 36 inches. He's not a tremendous scorer. He's not a great shooter, and he doesn't finish around the rim exceptionally well. But he's got a 6'10 wingspan, and he has the measurables that indicate a highly capable NBA defender. His steal percentage was 3.7, and that's a rate that actually tends to translate to the NBA pretty well. He had the highest steal per 40 minutes of anybody in Draft Express's top 100 prospects at 2.6 per 40 minutes. He's got a rebounding percentage that is pretty reasonable for a 6'3 guard. So he's not a finished product. He's certainly raw. According to a story by Vince on the Free Press website, he actually hadn't really planned on entering the draft until a workout earlier this offseason with Chris Paul and Paul George in Los Angeles, and it went well, and well enough that he's going to enter the draft, and he's a projected lottery pick and almost a lock to go in the lottery. It sounds like anywhere in the 10, 11, 12 range is a likely destination for Donovan Mitchell. We have another piece of news which may or may not to amount to anything, but if it does amount to something, it's going to be a huge issue. There is a lawsuit that has been filed regarding the Pistons' move to Little Caesars Arena. Less so the Pistons' move, more so the construction and the funding of that construction. According to this lawsuit, the lawsuit is essentially to force a vote. It states that there should be no use of public funds for the construction of Little Caesars Arena without a vote of Detroit's residents. Which certainly seems fine. It seems logical, but this is something that the Pistons would like to get dealt with in a hurry. In an affidavit filed by Pistons Chief Financial Officer Greg Campbell, he states that the suit may affect the NBA's willingness to approve the team's relocation from the Palace of Auburn Hills to Little Caesars Arena in downtown Detroit. The NBA will have its Board of Governors meeting on July 11th. And there seems to be concern from the Pistons that if there are still outstanding financial and legal issues surrounding the move downtown, the NBA may not approve the Pistons' move downtown. And that is one of the final steps that is required for any team to relocate from one area or one arena to another. So the Pistons do seem to be pretty concerned about this. There's a motion filed to dismiss it, and I believe that motion is being heard today. So by the time you hear this, there might actually be a resolution, or there may not. These things can drag out, and that's the concern the Pistons have right now. Even if it's decided that, in fact, a vote needs to be held, it's highly unlikely that there's going to be a vote in time for this July 11th Board of Governors meeting. While this affidavit filed by Campbell states concern about this process, not too long ago, I believe it was been in the last couple weeks, Arne Tellem, who is Palace Sports and Entertainment's vice chairman, he stated that there was no chance, zero, that the Pistons would return to the Palace next season. So whether it is a tactical change, whether there's actual concern on the Pistons' part, remains to be seen. But, being not a legal expert myself, I'm not qualified to theorize too deeply, but my gut feeling is that this is probably going to amount to nothing, but if it does turn into a problem, if it does actually cause the Pistons' move to fail, it's going to be a pretty significant black mark. It'll be an embarrassing moment for the organization, most definitely. We are going to keep an eye on that one, to say the least, because there are it's a big deal, or has the potential to be a big deal. So we will keep an eye on that. With that, I think we've got you guys all caught up on the happenings of this surprisingly out of nowhere busy weekend. We'll be building our way up to the draft on Thursday. We'll be back at you tomorrow. We are also going to start a new feature. We're going to call it Five Star Fridays. I am seeking players that you guys would like to be profiled on Fridays. It can be a current player, it can be a way back player. If you want to hear me talk about Charlie Villanueva for 7 minutes, it can be done. So we're going to call it Five Star Fridays because in exchange for this profile, I would like you to make your profile request in the form of a five-star review. And if there are multiples, whoever gets the most five-star votes in their favor, we've got three Chaunceys and two Tayshaun's, the five-star reviews that voted for Chauncey will get Chauncey reviews. So we're going to do that starting this week. And as soon as we have a sample, as soon as we've got a vote or two, we are going to kick that off. Hopefully by Friday, we will be able to launch this little feature. And we'll be talking about this on a daily basis. If you would like to support the podcast, again, the best way to do so is to give a five-star review. I now would like you, if you do go the five-star review route, it'd be great if you'd throw a player name in there so that we can get these reviews going and bring you guys into the narrative, the discussion a little bit. So please review the podcast. 5-star reviews are always appreciated. You can subscribe in iTunes or Stitcher or Podcast Addict, any of your preferred podcast sources. Any one of them will do. And you can also support the podcast by using our sponsor, SeatGeek. SeatGeek is an app. It is a ticket aggregator. So it's kind of like Expedia or Kayak is for like flying and hotels. It gathers together all the best ticket values for a venue or for a concert or for a show, sporting event, what have you. And it breaks down by value your ticket of choice, so you can tell if you're getting the best bang for your buck in a given location or a given seat or a given section. You can check out the view from the section that you're looking at. It's a very useful app, and I literally have it on my phone right now. I get notifications from it every so often, even if I haven't used it in a while. Just keeping me up to date on what's going on in the Detroit area. If there are some events ongoing, obviously the Tigers are pretty much always playing. if you're into baseball, there's also always there's concerts, there's shows, and SeatGeek covers all of those. In order to let them know that you came from us, you can go to the settings tab and enter the coupon code LOPISTONS. Not only does that let them know that you came from us, but it also gives you $20 off your first purchase, and that'll come in the form of a rebate. So please, go use SeatGeek. Let them know that you came from us. LOPISTONS. Save $20. Thank you. We'll be back at it tomorrow.